Well, this could be it today for the Spurs season, or maybe it could go on a little longer. It is game four. Game day is here, and hopefully these Spurs will pull out a victory against the defending champ Golden State Warriors as they're facing an elimination game down 0-3 in the opening round playoff series versus the Golden State Warriors. Welcome to Locked On Spurs. This is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I am your host once again, Jeff Garcia, News 4 San Antonio, Fox 29 San Antonio, and once again, I am going to be joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast in a few minutes. But before we bring him on, real briefly, look, the Spurs, obviously, you know, this could be it for them. But there's also a little bit of other news that is happening, and we're going to get to the Spurs game four in a little while. But I'm pretty sure you know by now, it's not even the freaking off season already, and other teams already want to starting to dip into the Spurs brain trust on that bench next to Popovich. Multiple reports have two Spurs assistant coaches that are under the spotlight as far as taking over the head coaching reins of respective teams. Now, let's start off with the big one. You got James Borrego. Reports have him being a candidate for the Knicks head coaching job as well as the Suns head coaching job. So that's interesting. We'll talk about that in a few seconds. And, of course, the main man himself, Ettore Messina, he is now starting to surface as a possible candidate for the Charlotte Hornets gig. And hopefully that doesn't happen. So let's go ahead and bring in Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, yeah, you know, usually this kind of talk is saved for when the Spurs season is over. And even though it's not officially over, but I mean, my goodness, the buzzers are already circling the Spurs right now. My goodness. Let's start off with Borrego. Look, he's not a stranger to head coaching. He was the interim head coach for a hot second in Orlando before moving on and joining the Spurs. He's, you know, he's paid his dues. He's been sitting behind Pop and along that coaching bench section of the Spurs bench during games. And you know what? You know, once again, you know, this other teams are starting to dip into this collective pool here. What are your thoughts about Borrego and the reports that the Knicks and the Suns are interested in him?
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, we do have a lot of head coaches that at one point in time were part of the Spurs coaching staff. So this just goes to show the, you know, the caliber of assistant coaches that the San Antonio Spurs are out there producing. And not only are they producing, like, you know, they get the knowledge or corporate knowledge from being an assistant coach here in San Antonio, but later on in their careers, they go on to be head coaches in the NBA. So, I mean, just goes to show the power of Coach Pop, you know, and the Spurs organization. So, surprising. Yeah. No, I don't want him to leave, but, you know, you can't hold him back.
Yeah, you know, we're going to talk about Messina in a few seconds, but unlike Messina, Borrego does have head coaching experience in the NBA. You know, look, yeah, he got in an Orlando team that wasn't that great, but nevertheless, you know, he still was, you know, the head coach at least for a little bit. And I think that's invaluable in the sense of, you know, he knows what it is to be in that hot seat. And I can see why two teams, at least according to reports, that they're interested in him. Now, look, if I'm him, I don't go to the Knicks per se, not because, you know, they have a bright future with Porzingis, but you're looking at the Suns team. You got Devin Booker. They got Jonathan Bender. They're kind of more on the rise. They have a good history as far as success, unless they face the Spurs back in the Spurs glory days. But nevertheless, you know, the Knicks, they just seem to be, let's face it, they're still a little bit on the garbage end. Yeah, they got a little better, made some strides, but, you know, still dealing with the Joakim Noah contract. That's a big mess. You know, you're talking about New York City, you know, the mecca of basketball, as they say. You know, the media here in New York City just simply are relentless and don't know if Borrego's ready for pretty much to be thrown to that type of fire, unless you think otherwise, Joe.
No, I mean, I think at this point in time, I mean, he's ready. I mean, he's paid his dues here in San Antonio alongside Coach Pop. So wherever he lands, if he decides to leave, you know, I'm sure he'll find success in whatever he does because he was taught by the best.
That's right. I was going to move on to Ettore Messina. Reports, as mentioned, have him being looked at very intently by the Charlotte Hornets. Look, Messina, although he does not have NBA head coaching experience, he does have a bit more in just NBA experience, maybe than Borrego. Look, he spent some time. People forget this. Before joining the Spurs, back in the early 2000s, he was hanging out and, you know, being an assistant coach with the Los Angeles Lakers under former Spur Mike Brown, when Mike Brown was the head coach of LAL. And then obviously he went back to his EuroLeague roots and then came back to the NBA and joined the Spurs staff. He has been Popovich's number one guy, and he actually took over the head coaching reins for game three while Popovich was dealing with the tragedy of the loss of his wife, Erin. Joe, you know, Messina has one thing that I like, and is that he does have a lot of a head coaching experience, but in the EuroLeague, he's part of the Italian Basketball Hall of Fame. He's won, I think, about four or five EuroLeague titles. He's also considered one of the 50th greatest basketball contributors to the EuroLeague system. I mean, this guy, you know, if any of the two are ready, it might be him. I mean, talk about paying dues. I think he's paid his dues and then some, Joe.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. He's quite a decorated, you know, prospect, should we say. You know, even though he has never been an NBA head coach, I mean, he's got all the makings of being a good one, you know, or should I say even a great one, given the opportunity. So we'll just have to see where he falls if he decides to leave the Spurs. I like him, you know. I wish he stays, but, you know, if you want to at one point in time, you know, progress your career, I mean, you got to take that calling, you know.
Yeah, you look, I mean, the Hornets is not the ideal location maybe if you're an NBA prospective coach, but I mean, hey, he's got to start somewhere in this league, and if he can turn around the Hornets and make them a viable candidate. Look, Michael Jordan, you know, he's the greatest basketball, you know, obviously a player, but, you know, as far as a GM, he's made some questionable decisions. Adam Morrison rings a bell. But nevertheless, look, they got Kemba Walker there. They got a rejuvenated Dwight Howard. Nick Batum is there. So they got something to work with there. And I think Messina would be great. Look, he's one of the best brilliant international basketball minds, just basketball mind, period. You add that with what he's learned from Popovich, I think any team, Charlotte, whoever, would love to add him to their coaching staff and to be the head coach. So sometimes, listeners, it's not simply about where the players are going. Sometimes the Spurs team has lost really key play coaches, assistant coaches in their history, namely Mike Budenholzer. I think that was one of the biggest blows the Spurs coaching staff has ever suffered as far as leaving. Because remember, Joe, a lot of people thought he was going to take over for Pop, should have Pop retired back then.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. And, you know, unfortunately for us, he moved on. But, I mean, he would have been, you know, I think a viable replacement for Coach Pop. And if we have, you know, Ettore Messina leave and, you know, Borrego leave, then who's left to maybe pick up those reins, well, I mean, you know?
You know, there's Becky Hammond and Ime Udoka. And, you know, those are not Gabby candidates to take over for Pop if he does decide to hang it up. I mean, he's getting up there in age. I think people don't realize that. And he's really, really pushing it. And he has to hang on because he's going to be the head coach for Team USA in the next Olympic game. So he'll be at the Spurs sideline for a while. But I think as many people look at the Tim Duncan retirement, the possible Manu Ginobili retirement, and the eventual retirement of Tony Parker, you got to look at Popovich. You know, I would not be surprised if maybe he retires before Parker does, or say, you know, okay, this is my last season as a Spur head coach. I'm going to do a few rounds with Team USA and then call it a day. So, but other than that, that's the quick news on the Spurs coaching staff front. It's not even the offseason yet. And my God, shoo away the buzzards, Joe. Do what you got to do. You got any you know, some fly swatters or throw some bricks at them, because I hate when this happens. I hate when the Spurs lose quality talent on the coaching staff.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, man. But we can't stop progress.
No, cannot stop progress. Okay, so with that out of the way, let's go ahead and dive into the main event, and that is Game 4. As mentioned, this is an elimination game for San Antonio. They are down 0-3 to the Golden State Warriors, and it has not been pretty. There's so many building blocks that you can take into Game 4 that would hopefully lead to a win, Joe. We've discussed this at length in previous low shows. We talked about the first half performances, and they've been great, but they don't carry over to the second half. We talked about their defense in Game 2, you know, holding the Warriors to under 30 points scoring in the first two quarters, but then the wheels fell off in the second half. You're going to see a pattern here, people. Basically, at the end of the day, the Spurs cannot play a complete game versus a very talented Warriors team. But, Joe, at the end of the day, you know, if this is going to be their last game, I don't think they should hang their heads low. They did a lot considering what they went through this season. But before we get into the X's and O's, I got to just say real fast, I'm going to just get it out there now. I think this is it. I think this will be the final game of the regular the postseason and the Spurs 2017-18 season. I just don't think this Spurs team, they're just outmatched. They're outmatched. They're out-talented. They're outclassed on the court. Not saying off the court, because we know what Draymond Green is all about, class. But just the talent-wise, I think it's just too much for the Spurs. And especially what happened with Coach Pop recently, I think it's time to just take, okay, you know what? The season's over. Let's take a big, long break from each other.
Yeah, you know, I think me, you know, just me and not just myself, but other Spurs fans all across San Antonio and around the world, we're pretty much exhausted at this point. It's been that type of season. It's been that type of series. And given, you know, what's happened recently with Coach Pop, I mean, if the season ended, you know, against the Warriors in Game 4, I don't know. I think I would sense a little bit of relief from everyone, you know. But I'd still like to see them keep competing and keep playing. And, you know, like Ettore Messina was saying, it's you got to take it one game at a time. And if the Spurs can knock down some shots, it does become an interesting Game 4. You know, they defensively, they've done a good job the last two games. It's just, it comes down to shots and making shots. And unfortunately for the Spurs, they're, like you said, they're outmatched and outclassed in that department. I mean, the Warriors are just a better team, period. You can't deny that. And if you do, you're a fool.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's very obvious that this Spurs team just don't have the horses to compete. They got one, LaMarcus Aldridge, but you know, it's pretty much the proverbial cut off the head of the snake and the body dies. That's what we've been seeing the last three games. You control LaMarcus to a certain degree, and guess what? The rest of the team dies. And by that, the parts die. And I'm looking straight at Bryn Forbes, Davis Bertans, you know, unfortunately, Manu Ginobili in Game 3. You look at other players such as Danny Green, Kyle Anderson, where has he been? You know, he just simply went MIA. See, that's what happens. You know, look, LaMarcus cannot operate. He can't be that threat because they're just swarming him. And you know what? This is the time, Joe, where I thought the role players would step up. There was some life at the end of the regular season. Remember, they had won a few games in a row. They beat Houston. They beat, yes, it was a depleted Warriors team, but they still beat the Warriors nonetheless. They picked up games here and there, but, you know, it was just a flicker of hope. And this Spurs team, this is for another show, you know, but they got to really rethink about where they're heading roster-wise. I don't think it's a good one right now. It's okay. It's not phenomenal, but it's not bad. It's mediocre. It's good. But in a series where everybody needed to step up, Joe, everybody did not step up. And yeah, I'm even including LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, I give him a little pass because he's getting swarmed. But I mean, if I'm him, I'm taking that to the hoop and I'm getting fouls. And I don't care if the refs miss a call here and there and I get upset. I'm constantly beating them up. And I don't really see that from the Spurs and how they're utilizing LaMarcus as much. And that's for one game, Game 2, when he had, 34 points. One key that I'm looking at tonight is the role players. I think it's time for them to shine. If they're going to make up for their failure this entire series, it would be tonight. It would be in the Alamo City. It would be in front of the home crowd. And it would be the time for them to say, you know what? We still got one last hurrah in us. It's going to be, this is it. And let's put our nose to the grindstone and come out swinging. And I'm looking at those guys that I just listed off right now. And I know you're pretty much discounting Brent Forbes by now. I don't think you're expecting anything from him, huh, Joe?
No, nah, man, we need to throw him away like a used piece of toilet paper, man. It's time to flush him down the toilet and say, yeah. Depart and say goodbye. You know, he's been absolute trash this season. Not this season, but this series. In the season, he has been very inconsistent. And he's one of those players that I had high hopes for coming into the season. And he's laid an absolute egg, just like Joffrey Living as well. That's another one I'm completely done with. If they get rid of him in the offseason, it couldn't come soon enough.
Yeah, exactly. But so that's going to be my key to Spurs win tonight. Oh, actually, today, I guess. I forgot it's an early start today. It's at 2:30. But nevertheless, I think the Spurs role players have to step up. If they start stepping up, Joe, in game four, I mean, my God, that just creates so much opportunity for LaMarcus Aldridge, doesn't it?
Yeah, it would help alleviate a lot of that pressure and the double and triple teaming and allow him to get easier looks, you know, and hopefully easier buckets, you know, and translates into, you know, him going to the free throw line a little bit more, maybe some opportunities to get some more and ones, you know, maybe some dunks and easy layups, because he's really having to work out there. And, you know, poor LaMarcus, man, he can't do it on his own. And come third and fourth quarter, that's been the tale of, you know, two halves for the Spurs. And I contributed to just LaMarcus getting, you know, exhausted by that point in time. He's having a battle. So the role players, definitely, they need to step up.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it is, obviously, I would love for each and every role player to pump in at least double-digit scoring. I mean, I think that's what's going to take to get a W later on today. But barring that, you know, if they're off their game and if their shots are not falling, look, LaMarcus Aldridge talked about the Spurs' lack of outside shooting and how it's simply just not falling down. And I don't know, Joe, maybe I read into this a little bit more than I should have, but I think he's kind of frustrated with the fact that the shooters are not simply making shots. You know, they asked LaMarcus about that situation after the Game 3 loss, and he says, quote, they're Golden State doubling and doing their things. He's talking about them doubling him. Then he goes, we have open shots, but they aren't going in. Our guys are competing, following the game plan, trying to give ourselves a shot. But when you don't make shots, it's always tough. You know what, Joe? You know, I'm sorry, before I bring it to you, he goes on to say, it's been the same thing. We aren't making shots that are there. I think he's onto something. If you're not knocking down the shots, you're not going to compete against this Warriors team, because then you have to rely on the post, and there's just shutting down that post. Look what happened in game three for LaMarcus. What, 14 points, I believe, or 14, 18 points. Very pedestrian for him.
Yeah, you know, it's just like you said, you know, he needs, actually, you know, he's had his opportunities at certain times, you know, during the game where he could have maybe, you know, been a little bit more aggressive. But, you know, it's hard. I mean, this Warriors team, they're just downright nasty on defense with him. They're just swarming him. And you know, the double, the triple teams, and he just can't seem to get in rhythm, you know. And I think that they've done a good job in keeping him out of rhythm. And, you know, unless these role players can step up and be a little bit more aggressive and start knocking down, you know, open jump shots. I mean, come on, guys. 15, 20-foot jump shots, those should be gimmies, you know, and they haven't been.
Exactly.
It's been really hard to watch this Spurs team struggle, and not only in this series, but at the later part of the season. And it all comes down to just, you know, they've been in a shooting slump, and these role players just can't hit shots. It's been the LaMarcus show.
And it came at the wrong time. Yeah, I mean, the worst possible time. LaMarcus wasn't done there after the Game 3 loss. He kept on talking about the outside shooting. Yeah. And this is where I thought that maybe he's just harping on it so much. So he goes on to say, you know, they were doubling me, and we were getting wide open looks that you draw plays to get.
Yeah.
So guys are open and shooting it, and it's not going in. But one thing I keep telling them is to keep shooting with confidence. Don't second guess yourself. I think you need to keep shooting with confidence. Right there, I think he's kind of letting us on, saying when he said, don't second guess yourself. I think he senses that they're second guessing themselves. They're freaking out. They're crushed. They're crumbling under pressure. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's evident when you see them. There's a lot of hesitation, a lot of extra passing that translates into turnovers. And that's happened all season. And you just left scratching your head because even seasoned veterans such as Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Danny Green, Patty Mills, they've all, you know, have had this happen to them where they become complacent. And I don't understand why. There's no logic behind it other than they're missing Kawhi, you know, and, they've been without him most of the season. It just seems like the Kawhi debacle has really put a chink in the Spurs' armor this season and really have got them out of rhythm to start the season. And it's just translated to this happening into the, you know, the postseason. It's just, you know, like I said, it's just one of those seasons, one of those series where the end can't come soon enough, man. I think at this juncture, everyone is tired, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, obviously my key is just role players stepping up. Joe, what would be your key?
Yeah, man, you just got to keep on, you know, plugging away. You just got to keep shooting, you know, and hopefully the shots will start falling. I mean, you just cannot not look away from a good look. You know, if you have a good look to the basket, take your shot. You know, if you're wide open, take your shot. If you have a good three-pointer where, you know, it's in rhythm, take a shot. I mean, sooner or later, they're going to have to fall. And you just can't give up on that. If you stop shooting, even if it's for a minute or two and you're not hitting your bucket, you're not making buckets, you're not hitting your shots, this Spurs team right now, because they are outclassed on the offensive end, that translates into them going down 10 to 15 points, which we saw in game three. And that can't happen in game four if you hope to get a win. You just got to knock down these open jump shots and open looks. And that's my key to victory.
You know, you said something very interesting right now, and I'm going to have to disagree with you. I think, yes, we'll have to agree, and I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to agree with you. Yes, this Warriors team, they're just too potent offense. There's nothing Spurs can do about that. Popovich even joked about it when a few games back when he said, unless Danny Green's going to grow 7 inches to start slowing down Kevin Durant. But I'm also going to give the defensive applause to the Warriors.
Yeah.
If you look at the scores, you know, they've been holding the Spurs under 100 points. I mean, you know, it's not a pretty look right now. I mean, look at the last three games. You know, the only one game where they went over 100, which is 101 points in that game two. But in game one, the Warriors held the Spurs 92 points. In game three, the Warriors held the Spurs to 97 points. See a pattern here. The Warriors are getting it done offensively and defensively. The Spurs are simply not getting it done at all. And either end of the court, they do it for a couple of quarters and then they just simply vanish. And I think what's happening is just that talent that the Warriors have is just too overwhelming for them. It's frustrating. I mean, look, one night is JaVale McGee just lighting up the Spurs. The next night is Looney shutting down LaMarcus Aldridge and being a defensive pest. And the next night is Klay Thompson knocking down 31 points and 16 points in one quarter. And then the other night is Kevin Durant. You see what the point is here? They're just top heavy, and they're just so powerful. They're so strong. And the defensive end, Draymond Green, as much as he gets on my nerves and how much he gets away with murder with the refs, you know, you got to give him a tip of the hat because he's been really giving LaMarcus Aldridge the business in the paint. Game three was a big example of that. He was pushing him out, making his life miserable. Joe, when I look at this thing, and I'm going to start wrapping it up now, you know, with the final key, it's just simply heart. They got to have a heart of a champion tonight or later today. I'm so used to saying tonight. This NBA schedule is messing me up. See, that's why I want the season to be over already. My brain's all out of whack. To later on today, heart of a champion. Throw out the playbook. Throw out the X's and O's. Derek White, you want some run? Let's do it. You know, let's see what you got. Rudy Gay, you like starting, right? You started the last game. Let's keep it going. I think just bring the fight to the Warriors. This first team, I think they know they're not talented as the Warriors. So what do they got to lose? go out there, muck it up, play your style, you know, beat them in the paint. You know, Pau Gasol, LaMarcus Aldridge, Twin Tower, high low, just devastate them. Go for it. What do you got to lose? Your season's going to end. Big surprise. Nobody expected the Spurs team to move on. You win a game. Phenomenal. You showed heart of a champion. It's a win-win situation, or maybe win-lose, depending how you see it. But just heart of a champion, Joe. That's all I want to see out of this team. Just that fight. And they go down swinging. And if they make the Warriors nervous, and if they make the Warriors second guess themselves, then to me, that's a victory. But let's just have some fire, some passion, that eye of the tiger on the court tonight. Today, I'm sorry, at the AT&T Center.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that one. But just as you said, you know, they have to have the heart of a champion, and, you know, they got to take the fight to the Warriors. Same thing could be said for the fans. The fans need to have that same energy, that same tenacity, that, you know, that don't give up mentality. We don't need a repeat of game three. Well, when I was at the game and these fans got up and left, you know, the game with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. That's unacceptable. Yikes. Man. And these are the same fans, mind you, that always have something to say on social media, the calling into sports shows, critiquing the team, mm-hmm. critiquing the players. They have something to say about everything. They always have an opinion. But, you know, these are the guys, same people that got up and left with 8 minutes to go. So I'm like, if you're going to have the cojones to come out here and say all this stuff about the players and the team, then at least have the guts to stay in your seat and cheer for the team. You know, that leaving with 8 minutes to go, that's just classless. You know, and that to me is just a fair weather bandwagon fan. You know what? If you want to leave with 8 minutes to mm-hmm. go, I'll hold the door open for you.
Wow. So you're calling out the fans, aren't you, Joe?
And I'm calling out the fans hard. They need to, you know, whether the team wins or loses, they should be proud of the team and proud to be fans. Take pride in your city and your team and in yourselves, you know, Spurs fans. And, you know, for whatever happens, whatever the outcome is of the game, they should actually be grateful that we have a team that has given us so many years of greatness here in San Antonio. And for the fans to just leave like that, that's just a total show of disrespect, not just to the team, but also to the fan base and to the city. That should be an embarrassment that should never happen again.
Well, hopefully you're right, Joe. Hopefully the Spurs fans heard your message right now loud and clear. And I agree with you. I think they should be on their feet from beginning to the end of the game. And I'll give them an excuse if they want to go up for a beer run for you, Joe, or something like that. Or, you know, then they can get off their seat. But yeah. Other than that, I think if this is going to be it for the season. Because remember, you know, I was going to end on this note, but I might as well bring it up now. We could be watching the last game of Manu Ginobili in a Spurs uniform tonight, today. This True could that. Be it. This is it. And if this is number 20's final hurrah, then why not show him some love? Why not show, if anything, I mean, yes, maybe you're upset with the team and how the season has gone on and the Kawhi drama and, you know, the lackluster showing during this season at times and, of course, in the series. But there's one man out there, number 20, who pretty much has been kind of the lone, in my opinion, one of the few lone bright spots in this season. Yes, LaMarcus Aldridge is phenomenal. The continued growth of DeJounte Murray has been great to witness. But to see old man Manu still, my God, just still pulling out tricks left and right and being that savior for the Spurs, I mean, he deserves a round of applause and he deserves that love.
Standing ovation.
Exactly. I think what we're going to see later on today is what we saw last season when everybody thought that was it for Manu. I think there's going to be tears in the crowd. I think he's going to wave to the crowd. I think he's going to point and then walk out, and then everybody's going to be biting their fingernails for the next few months, whether or not he's going to make the decision to come. But if this is it, man, let him know that you love him and you appreciate him and that you don't want him to go. Or is that billboards in San Antonio says, uno mas Manu, one more time, Manu. Yeah. Hopefully he does give us one more time. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. You know, I want to see Manu go out, you know, and like a champ. You know, I want to see him put up one more Manu, magnificent performance.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see him come out here, even if he doesn't score like, you know, 20 something points, just to have a decent game. You know, go out there with at least scoring in double digits, give the crowd some, you know, moments of greatness, you know, at least have maybe a dunk or this amazing play that's just like, wow, man, look at Manu doing it still at age 40. You know, just leave him with something to remember you by, you know, in your last game. That's what I want to see. That's what I hope for. If it is, in fact, Manu Ginobili's last game, you know, I want to see that one last performance out of him that's just going to be like, wow, it's amazing. You know, we've been so lucky to have him for so many years. And when he leaves, it's going to, you know, it's going to leave a big hole on that bench, just like Tim Duncan. I mean, this is the end of the big three era, you know, so enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, because you might have just one more game later on today of number 20 in the uniform. And if it is, then what a ride it's been. And I'm pretty sure we'll definitely see his number hoisted up in the roof of the AT&T Center or the rafters, I'm sorry. But hey, Manu, if Dirk can announce that he can come back, that he is going to come back, and Vince Carter announcing that he's going to be back, and Jason Terry still plugging away, I think you can do it too. Come on, don't go out like that. Don't let those guys beat you. I'm doing whatever it takes right now, Joe, to keep him in a Spurs uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully this is not it for Manu, but if it is, let him know your love. All right, those are our thoughts on game four and our keys to victory. Heart of a champion, make some shots, basically just show up. But we want to hear what you have to say. Game time is less than a few hours from now, so you got to hurry up. You can tweet at me at Jeff G Spurs Zone, or if you want to talk a little more at length, you can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Joe, take it away.
Yeah, you can find us at Two Shots Podcast, which is spelled out TWOSHOTS, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can also check us out on the World Wide Web at twoshotssa.com.
Hey, Joe, are you going to the game today or no?
No, actually, I'm going to be in the studio later on today at the, you know, WOAI studios with Chris Duell, and I'm going to probably just, you know, be there and regardless of what happens, talk Spurs with the fan base and, you know, just see what happens, man.
Yeah. And maybe pour one out for Manu. I don't know. Maybe you might do it. Yeah. I don't know. Or pour one out for the Spurs season. I get a big old gallon of beer, just throw it everywhere on up and down the Riverwalk or in Military Drive or whatever. Yeah. But for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.